This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 29th, 2015, the first Sunday of Advent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A blessed Advent to everyone. The beginning of the new Christian year. So, well, I didn't do too well last year. Do better this next year. That's what it's all about, doing better. When we approach Advent, it's an interesting, we can get very myopic on Advent. And I am as guilty of this as anyone. An illustration in my own life this week. We got a bunch of things. Advent just in and of itself, the liturgy changes. You leave things out, you put things in, you do this, we got a new missal, change this, change the words of that. There's subtle changes, so I really got to think about it. I've had a lot going on, just the other stuff. And I always check the bulletins, and Ellen made the bulletin, and she sent them out, and I looked at it. And here I know, Advent's coming, right? I know, it's Advent. What is that? It's getting ready for Christmas. You know? I pick up the bulletin, I'm reading it, and you know, the hymns are all in bold. And I look, I said, it's a Christmas carol. And what's she thinking? And I thought, duh. You know, you get myopic when you reach this time of year. Christmas, giving presents. The birth of the child Jesus, which is why, first and foremost, we have this liturgical time of the year. But as opposed to being myopic and thinking about the babe in Bethlehem, we should always be deepening our faith. I always point out that it's necessary to deepen our understanding of what our Lord wants us to do, what He wants us to know about Him. This is the time of year when you see, and I am not being pejorative, I'm not criticizing these at all. I wish more people would have them. But you see these increase in these bumper stickers, how, you know, signs and lawns and stuff like that. Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, yes, He is. Absolutely. And I pray you put those kind of signs in your life. But what do you mean when you say that? My point is, we cannot leave it at the little baby who was born in the manger. The little baby who was born in the manger was there for a purpose. It ought not darken it. It ought to actually lighten it that He came to sacrifice Himself for our sins. You know, He couldn't do that without having been born in the manger, taking flesh upon Himself. So as we approach this Advent season, Advent is like a little Lent. We should be understanding in a deeper and fuller sense what our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to know about Him. And one of the things He wants us to know is that when we talk about Advent, we're talking really about two Advents, comings, Adventus. Two things. His coming as our Savior and His coming as our Judge. You can't bifurcate the two. They have to be together. That is who He is. He is our Savior and He will be our Judge. Now, this is not, oh, here we go, Father Doc's going to talk about judgment instead of Christmas. That's not what I'm going to talk about at all. But it's something we have to understand, because where I want to go with this whole thing is this season is not so much about contemplating the babe in the manger. The thing to understand is the promises that God has made for us. God has made promises to you. This book is full of them, from cover to cover. And we have this tendency in our humanness to approach those promises and go, well, yeah, He says that, but my life this, my life that. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever. His promises will be fulfilled. His promises will be kept. And again, you know, I talked about judgment. Well, He's promised to come and judge us. It should be just the opposite of being dark. This judgment that He speaks about in the gospel is could come on all who dwell upon the earth. All the judgment's coming, but that's for all those bad people out there. It's not going to touch us. The last time I looked, we dwelled on the earth. We're all going to be taken up in this stuff. We're all going to be caught up in it. But the light is that we deal with it. in a very positive sense. I always point out, Catholics, we are the only ones that can make something positive out of anything. If you truly know your faith, if you truly know your Savior, nothing can happen in life that you can't find a silver lining. That's who we are. That's who He is. Because He's made promises to us, and we have to understand that those promises will be fulfilled. That's what Bethlehem was. It was a promise fulfilled. For millennia, the people of Israel had been talking about, bantering back and forth as to what the Savior was going to be. Who is this Messiah? What's He going to be like? What's He going to do? Who is He? You know, is He going to come down from heaven? Is He going to be, you know, born? What is this Messiah? And then guess what? In Bethlehem, the promise that had been made since Genesis, Genesis chapter 3, the promise of a Redeemer came to fulfillment and was kept in Bethlehem. Our Lord's promise about judgment is going to be just as absolutely present as was our Savior in Bethlehem. We can't escape that. But as opposed to getting all fretful about that, we should, with all our being, exult in the fact that our Lord's promises to us are going to be kept. You think about His promises. I have a quote from St. Augustine. It talks about the promises of God. You first hear something like this, particularly one part of it, it can, you know, particularly if you're a person of deep faith, you know who God is, you really gotta, it kind of takes you aback a little bit. St. Augustine says about God's promises, and I quote, "God is ever faithful, and He has placed Himself in our debt, not because He has received anything from us, but through all the promises He has made to us. He has put them in writing, so we will be able to read them, one after another, as they come to pass." That's the Bible. That's God's message to us. It's a book of promises. He promised us good stuff, if you keep a life of faith and obedience, and He promises stuff that's not good if you don't have a life of faith and obedience. And that's not God sitting up on His throne, you know, "I'm going to zap this person for doing that. I'm going to zap that person for doing that." They just get what they want. If they don't want to live in conformity with His precepts and His commandments, He knows what's best for us. And if you don't do it, you're going to receive the consequences for your own decisions, not His. He has promised that that will come to fulfillment. When St. Augustine says that, again, when you hit that place, God Almighty, the faithful one, has placed Himself in our debt. Blasphemy! He's God. We don't owe Him anything. We're not it. It doesn't say that. He has placed Himself in our debt. He has promised by Himself to fulfill the things that He says. That should be so comforting for us. That God Almighty is going to keep His promises to you, not because you're a great guy, but because He's made a promise to you. And He is great. And He is perfect. In our lives, when we really want to make sure somebody really believes us, we swear. Even the heathens do that. "I swear on my mother's life. I swear on my kids. I swear on the Bible." The ever favorite, "I swear to God." Guess what? We have to say that because we're not trustworthy. And the person to whom we are saying that, obviously we're saying that because we know that person doesn't believe us or is at least questioning what we're saying. That's why we have to swear on something greater than ourselves or something that we care about more than ourselves. All right? We swear on other things because what does it mean to you if I go, "No, seriously, I swear by myself." Whatever. Okay? God has sworn by Himself. You know, I swear to God. God has looked at us and all the promises He said in the Bible. He says, "I swear on me." That's what He is. That's who He is. He actually did it literally in an incident with Abraham. When He made the covenant with Abraham, He didn't go, "Hey, Abraham, I promised to do something. What are you going to give me?" Abraham's asleep, and God manifests Himself like a fire pot. And back in those days, if you really wanted to swear, you offered animals for sacrifice. And there's halves of animals laying there in the fire pot, which is the theophany of God. He moves through those split animal carcasses. And he makes a promise to Abraham. He swears by himself. Why? Because he is perfect. There is nowhere he can go. I swear on the world. He made the world. It's less than him. He can't swear by anything in creation because he made it all. He's the creator. He swears by himself, and he is perfect. He cannot lie. He would not be God if he could. That's how sure the promises are that he has made to you. What a source of comfort that should be for us. The only thing we have to do is conform ourselves to his commandments and his precepts, to know that we have a Savior, but we will stand before a judge. The readings today, and these are the readings for Advent. I'm not like a hard case and pull them out and go, oh, this will fit what I'm saying. They're in the liturgy. No matter where you went to Mass today, these are the readings that you're going to hear. They're the readings of Advent. And you never see this, hey, it's Advent. Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem and save you. Period. Nowhere. We have a reading from the Old Testament, a New Testament epistle, and the Gospel. And each and every one of them, they speak of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, and the coming Judge. You cannot separate him. That's who he is. Just as he is 100% God and 100% man, he is 100% Savior and 100% Judge. In Jeremiah, he will execute justice and righteousness, and they will be saved and dwell securely. Justice, salvation. 1 Thessalonians, the Holy Spirit speaking to St. Paul, may the Lord establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God the Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Prepare yourself, sanctify yourself, make yourself holy, because he's going to come back as judge. And then our Lord himself, through his own lips, in the Gospel of Luke, take heed to yourselves, but watch at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Salvation. You have been saved. Prepare yourself because you will stand before the Son of Man. And it's just not Bible. It is very practical for us. Again, those promises that he has made to us, you know, name them. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what, he will be there with you. He will be there with you to get you through that. If you will just rely on him. As he says in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. You will be able to stand through any turmoil, whether it the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one, relational issues, whatever it may be, rely on him and he will be there for you. He has promised to do that. And he will fulfill it as long as you are faithful and obedient, because he has promised. The promise of eternal life, like I said, we're Catholics. You know, we can make something positive out of absolutely anything, and that includes death. It includes death because he has promised us eternal life. He has sealed that promise with his own blood on the cross. And for one moment, if we doubt it, and we have to have faith, that's all part of this bargain. You have to have faith in his promises because he cannot lie. I'll end with this. This is St. Paul as he writes to the Hebrew people. And he specifically talks about God keeping promises. And he actually talks about what I said before about men making promises. I'll quote, men indeed swear by a greater than themselves. And in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly the unchangeable character of his purpose, he interposed with an oath so that through two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible that God should lie, we who have strong encouragement to seize the hope set before us, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner shrine behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as forerunner on our behalf. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.